Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Well, hello and welcome, you X-y beasts, to the Continue Club and to another edition of Retro Press X to Continue. Now, this is the place where we relive the first iteration of your favourite games podcast and bring you some of the original episodes to new platforms for the first time ever. Now, this one is from December 2020, a time where Blinding Lights by The Weeknd was the most streamed song at the time, and Bad Bunny was dominating Spotify. It was also when Tom Cruise went viral, remember, for that leaked footage of him being not so pleased with the crew of the film he was working on at the time for not sticking to the COVID rules. Now, on Press X, the voice of Love Island, Ian Sterling, and singer-songwriter Chelsea Grimes joined Einel and myself to chat about their love of FIFA. This was before it changed its name, of course. Have fun. Enjoy it. Stefan, we've got loads going on in this episode. Some new faces, a famous game, and as ever, Einel spreading Christmas cheer in a hideous Christmas jumper.
Hideous? Nah, bruv. Hey, I know this is an audio podcast, yeah, but we need to get some visuals out for this jumper I got on. I got the Spider-Man Miles Morales Christmas jumper. Come on.
Look, yeah, I think you'd be all right if it wasn't for the weird sort of snowflakey things that are going on in the shoulders.
It's not the snowflake, it's the webs, bruv. It's the webs, yeah? You know, he shoots out webs because he's a spider man.
This reminds me of what's happened with Christmas jumpers. Is, you know how at Halloween, anyone can go dressed as anything now if it's a dead version of that thing? Do you know what I mean? Someone's like, oh, I'm going to be, I don't know, a bin man, but I'm an undead bin man. And now it's the same with Christmas jumpers. That is a Spider-Man jumper and there's four snowflakes drawn onto it. That is literally what's happened.
You lot are thinking snowflakes. If I walked out the house dressed like this, someone's going to say, yo, is that Miles Morales? That's what they're going to say.
Well, you look, yeah, fair enough. Maybe. Actually, I'm not so sure. Well, Ian, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me. I was late to get to my own office in my own house, so I do apologise for that.
We were definitely going to hold it against you for the duration of this podcast.
Please, for the love of God, do.
If it was me, I wouldn't have brought it up. This is pre-recorded.
I can't believe Einel was late to this podcast. We can cut around that, can't we?
Yeah, we can figure it out. I've already had four cups of tea. It's fine. And then finishing off our party, we've got a singer-songwriter, presenter, footballer, and I think most importantly, someone who competes in Division 1 of FIFA Ultimate Team, which has got to be your highest accolade, Chelsea, right?
Of course. Yeah, nice one, boys. Thanks for having me.
I want to know who's the best FIFA player, though, between you and Ian, which I'm sure we'll get onto at some point in the podcast, but I'm looking forward to finding out that.
Ian does, he does rave about FIFA a lot, so I know he's a good player, but talking about him being late, you were late at Soccer Aid as well, Ian, so come on, mate.
You can't do that to me. I missed my train, but it wasn't my fault that time.
I'm sorry.
Just for a bit of context of how late Ian was to the podcast, Einel has had a Christmas tree delivered and he's put it up in the time that it took for Ian to come. So just give you some sort of context there.
Unbelievable. I do apologise.
Now, we're going to be getting on to talk about FIFA on this podcast because, Ian, would you say that FIFA is the game you spend most of your time playing?
I would say it's basically, I play FIFA on my console with an occasional, very occasional holiday onto something else. I'd say 90% of my console gaming is FIFA.
And same with you as well, Chelsea, right? You're big into your FIFA.
Yeah, that's literally all I play now. Yeah, it is.
It takes dedication to get to Division 1 of Ultimate Team, do you know what I'm saying?
It does. I'm hooked. I've never found anything else like GTA and all that I used to play, and then a bit of COD. I did play Spider-Man. Loved that game. I haven't got the new one for the PS5 yet, but I'm going to get that today after being inspired by that jumper.
You see it there? Influencing. There you go.
I swear you're on a percentage from the developers of that game.
I'm telling you what, if Insomniac Games was to send me a little message, feel free, innit? The DMs are open.
Now, before we get on to FIFA 21, which we're going to have a big look at, there's lots going on in the gaming world at the moment, starting with Cyberpunk is going to be coming out this week.
I'm trying not to think about it. I'm trying not to check out any news because I don't want anything spoiled. And you know what it is? Usually when it's close to a launch of a video game, the trailers that come out at launch, usually a little bit spoilery. They show you some things that you haven't seen before to entice people to buy the game. I don't want to watch them. I want to go in blind. I want to just enjoy the ride.
I quite like the idea of Cyberpunk.
Yeah, if you can sort of, I don't know, you can like change all your body up. Can you like stick metal arms on and stuff, which is...
Or augmented. I want to augment myself. In the future, first thing I'm getting done in my eye.
Why don't you get a sort of hologram torso and you can just customise any Christmas jumper you want at the press of a button?
You see it there.
Yes.
Thank you. I know you've reached the pinnacle of Division 1, Chelsea, and that's something you want to keep going. What do you think would encourage you to put, you know, FIFA away for a bit and go and try something else out?
If I become like the best player in the world.
If it's not competitive, you're out. You don't care.
Yeah, I don't. I just find I'm quite busy at the minute anyway. And I just love competition. Like I just love, there's got to be competition in anything I do. So I just like that every single game I can go and batter a 14-year-old in the world somewhere.
And some 32-year-old.
Virtually. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. If I have some time off and that and it's over Christmas, maybe, you know, I'll do all that walking around cities and trying to do missions. But at the minute, FIFA's just got me hot still.
Now, Ian, you've played a little bit of Fortnite in your time as well.
Yeah.
Is that one of your holidays from FIFA, right? Was a Fortnite period for you?
Yeah, as a professional FIFA player, it's basically my off-season. Fortnite becomes like my international duty. Do you know what I mean? I just nip over to Fortnite for a bit. What annoys me, though, is with the reason I might not be as tempted by Cyberpunk and stuff is I'm a big fan of online games. I just like playing other human beings. I don't know why. I find it sort of... Playing the AI, just there's something about it I find innately less engaging. But the problem with online games is people, something like Fortnite, people play it like it's the cure to coronavirus and get like amazing at it. And then it's about 2 years in when people are losing interest, I get sort of not good enough to be good, but good enough that I don't die all the time. And then by that point, everyone's like, why are you playing that? And I'm like, oh, I've just got good at it. And I was like, we're all playing Call of Duty Warzone now. And I'm like, I'll go on that for 5 seconds and die all the time. Like, I've got...
Yeah.
This is so frustrating.
That's true. I feel like my little sister, she's only 11, and she got on Fortnite like when it had just come out, and I didn't really pay attention because I was like, oh, it's for kids, that one. But then obviously she got really good and I was so bad at it and I was like, teach me. And then last week, actually, I interviewed Wolfies, who's he won like 1.5 million at 15, playing Fortnite. And I was watching him. And I was like, why are you holding the pad like that? And he was like, it's called the claw. So he's not like holding the trigger buttons like this. He's like hovering his index finger over all the X, Y, all this. And then he's got this finger on the trigger button so he was showing me how he can jump and move around at the same time with his gun. I was like, this is mental.
I heard he gave the winnings to his mum as well.
He did. He bought her a house. We filmed it with him and his mum over the summer. Yeah, he bought her a house.
Oh, his mum is loving it.
It's insane though, isn't it? Like, I think gaming's just transformed from when I was a kid. Like,
I do the other option as a sort of adult homeowner, where I just buy things that I've been told will help and make absolutely no difference. So I bought a thing called a scuff pad. I don't know if anyone's used one of them.
Oh, swish. Yeah now you're talking.
Again, it's an audio podcast, but it's here just to explain it to Chelsea. So basically, because if you think about it, when you jump and crouch and stuff, you've got to take your finger off your aiming analog to do it. So now all those buttons are at paddles on the back, which means you can do all that stuff without ever taking your finger off the analog stick. And it's just they're very pricey, but I got one in the style of the Joker from Batman. Sick. And like, I'm just a big kid. But yeah, it did help a little bit, I suppose, but I don't really use it to its full capacity. So I've got like a customized controller that I use just for Fortnite.
The reason I reckon I'm not good enough for Call of Duty, despite putting countless hours into it, is because I haven't got a scuff controller. That's what's holding me.
Do you know what? It does make a big difference in Call of Duty. Fortnite, there's like all the building and all that. There's so many buttons, but with Call of Duty, just get a scuff pad. You've got a button at the back for jumping, a button at the back for crouching, and you never need to take your finger off that.
This is my time, I know. This is the difference. This is it.
Is this why you were slacking before? Yeah, you got a scuff pad, yeah?
Well, Fortnite's in the news at the moment because they've had the new season.
This is, and I'm so annoyed at myself, this is genuinely the first one that I've not, like, attended. Like, I've been to all the gigs, and I've been to, like, watch the big fights between like the big lizard that comes out the sea and the robot, and I've watched every season. I watch it happening live, and this is the first one I missed, and I've tried to avoid spoilers because I think if I still log in, I'll still see some pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, there's no other game that can kind of hold events that literally take over the internet like Fortnite does. Like every time they do an event, all the other servers for all these other websites just go down. It's just like if you're streaming on Twitch while a Fortnite event's going on, everything just messes up. It's because everybody's jumping on because they want to see what's going on in Fortnite. You go onto Twitter, you see your timelines blowing up, all the gaming news outlets is chatting about Fortnite and the event that's happening. Like it's taken over.
Yeah, and look, let us know what you thought of the Season 5 launch, and what do you think about Cyberpunk coming this week? Find us on hashtag PressX to continue. Let us know what you think. But let's get into FIFA 21 then. We haven't got Chelsea at any in here just to be chatting about scuff controllers for the whole time. As brilliant as they are.
The claw.
Ian, if you've got a hookup, by the way, for scuff, feel free to, you know, send it my way.
I don't think there's stuff works for next gen consoles yet at the minute. So.
Oh, wait, so you've dangled that carrot in front of me and then you've just viciously grabbed it away at the last.
I know, I do apologise profusely for that.
Okay, well, I'll just have to work on my you know, actual skill maybe. But let's get into FIFA 21 then. Such a big franchise, such a popular title. Now, it'll cost you anywhere from 50 quid up, right, depending on your particular poison console-wise. So, Chelsea, you're obviously a really good FIFA player if you're, you know, competing. I know I keep repeating it, but I am super impressed by the fact you're in Division 1. The highest division I ever got to was Division 3 when I was really into FIFA 19. How does this year stack up compared to other years? Because I'm hearing different things from different people.
Yeah, I like it, to be honest. I'm not going to lie. I think there was a lot of complaints about the last one. Like, every time I play online or play in tournaments or with all my friends, they just constantly complain. And, I mean, there's still faults in the game, but I prefer this one. And also, I got it before release, so I was a bit better than everyone before. And what Ian said, it's true. If you come on the game about 3 or 4 months later, you know, everyone else got a head start. So I made sure that I made this count this time. So I got right on it. And I like it. What do you think, Abe?
I like it. I think there's a lot less... I think it still encourages a very defensive mindset. It's that thing of getting the balance between real world football and a game. I think you still get rewarded for just sticking bodies behind the ball, and the computer still does a lot of work for you because the AI, particularly with like shot blocks, basically every person you play against is Sam Allardyce.
This is how I play. This is my year. Yes, now we're talking here. 4-5-1, ultra defensive.
Yeah, that's it. They've added a load of really fun game modes this year, which are really brilliant fun. Like the friendly section this year is a lot more in-depth. And the great thing at the friendly section is you have to use like specific cards and teams. So maybe you've not spent all the money on the best players. You can still use like weird, odd cards and that's fun to put together. And there's a mode called the Silver Lounge where you can only play with silver players. So it's never going to be that expensive to put a team together. And then from then you can unlock like really cool cards. Like they had a Wes Morgan card last week. They've had an Ekin Fenway card that's like really fun to use. And if you're getting beat by someone, you can just like leave. Or like there's also just things where you just need to score goals or get assists so you can still lose a game. And so I think they've done really well with that. The objectives are really fun. And all previous FIFAs, there was sort of a meta that everyone worked out, whether it was like low driven shots across the goalkeeper and like I think that was about FIFA 18.
There
was
finesses. Like near post as well and stuff.
Near post this year is ridiculous, but like like I think it was FIFA 19 or FIFA 18, like a finesse shot from outside the box and you basically guaranteed a goal. It was a bit annoying.
It was because it was the new button, wasn't it? They introduced you hold an R1 and you shoot and therefore it's a new button, so you've got to score every single time you use it.
Yeah, and then those like little flick up crosses from last year that were just ridiculous. Yeah. Everyone just done that. This year, it feels like it's not been broken quite as much. And obviously, with me saying all that, that's me focusing on it. It is just a really brilliantly fun game.
Does it still have the story campaign? Because I know the previous years they had the story campaign where you played as a
Alex Hunter.
That's it. You played as Alex and you brought him up the ranks. Is that still there?
I haven't even looked.
I have never clicked on the Volta option on FIFA in my entire life, and I don't think I know anyone that has.
Is FIFA for you guys then basically Ultimate Team?
Yeah. And pro clubs. I play pro clubs a lot. So I've got an all-girls gaming channel now called Goal Power, and we've started playing. So there's five of us, and we're just all girls, and it's just boss. Like, we all make our players with a long hair, and, like, the kit for me is, like, tight fit, and then I might throw, like, changes boots every game just because I can, because you still can't be a female in pro clubs, which
you
is annoying.
Can you not?
No, that's still the one thing, which I think that should change, because, you know, my guy, I've made his, like, jawline as feminine as possible. beard, the eyebrows, I've tried to, you know, give him a bit of a shape up, but he's still a guy, do you know what I mean? So, but yeah, that's just been amazing for us. I think I enjoy jumping on with my mates there and just, you know, having a go at pro clubs and trying to get up the ranks with other people. But for me, it is all about foot champs and Ultimate Team, yeah.
I do feel like with the FIFA mode in general, the problem is, for those that don't know, there's a mode called Ultimate Team where you can, if you want, buy FIFA points, which you can open packs and improve your team. The only way really to get an absolutely amazing team is to spend quite a significant amount of money. And for EA, I think this might still be the case now. It was certainly the case last year. EA Sports' number one selling game is FIFA, and their number two selling game is FIFA points. So Ultimate Team's such an earner for them. From a purely business sense, it doesn't really make sense for them to work on pro clubs and like career mode. My friend plays solely career mode, and he played a game with me the other day. And like this year in Ultimate Team, you can customize your stadium. And I sort of think nothing of it, because there's always little bits in Ultimate Team. And we log in to play a game of co-op. And he's like, your stadium's amazing. Like, how have you done that? And I'm like, oh yeah, you can't like, in career mode, you can't like customize stadiums. You can't, I mean, they've just not worked on the other aspects of the game for a more casual player than they will for, you know, the people that just play Ultimate Team. And similarly, they've cut out a few things on Ultimate Team that are quite a good way to get good players or make coins. It seems like it could be interpreted like they've taken those elements out, so it's not as easy to make those FIFA coins without buying those FIFA points.
Yeah. Of course, EA, the makers, would say that you know, you don't have to pay to get the best team. That's more your choice. But I know for people like me and you, maybe more, I don't know, casual FIFA players, should we say, in the past, it seems to me like the game has become something that really only wants to encourage people who are going to play it all the time, you know? Like, FIFA for me used to be something I'd pick up, have a few games, maybe put down. But is it now just trying to get people, you know, like Ian was saying there, to get people to spend all their time and maybe more importantly, all their cash on Ultimate Team?
Yeah, it does sound that way. I will say though, a good point for EA. I did hear that they are offering a free upgrade for Xbox Series X and PS5 owners. If you have the PS4 or you have the Xbox One version, you do get an upgrade if you have the new versions, which is nice, because I know there's a few console games out there like Call of Duty that you have to pay extra on top if you want the upgraded version. So I will say that is a good thing.
Yeah.
But at the same time, when it comes to playing FIFA, I'm always a person where if you've got mates around and you want to game together, FIFA might be one of them, because everybody thinks they're the best at FIFA. It's just one of them things. It's like everyone's like, I'm the best, isn't it? I'm the best. And then you have a little tournament, have a couple of beers and whatnot, and you have a good time. I've always been a casual FIFA person. I haven't bought a FIFA since 2014. I think it was Lionel Messi on the front. Wow. And ever since, I've just been playing casually out of people's houses. And it sounds like ultimate team is the thing you have to be playing it for, and you have to be, you have to kind of be invested in FIFA if you want to get the full amount out of it.
My sister, she's 11. She's been playing it for like 2 years, the game, and it's become what Ian said, FIFA points. I said, what do you want for your birthday? She said, FIFA points. I was like, do you know what I mean? Like, what happened to like a bike? Or no, she wants FIFA points so she can open packs for the ultimate team. And that's when it gets a bit like, oh, okay, it's getting expensive.
Now, Ian, I was watching your stream the other day.
Oh, God, and you apologise.
No, I was watching, right? And you were... the game wasn't exactly going your way, right? Should we say.
What was it? Was that weekend? Was it over the weekend?
It was over the weekend.
Yeah, okay. Weekend league.
Right, so it was intense action. Things weren't going your way. And let's just say that you didn't finish the 90 minutes.
Right.
Okay.
Did you rage snap. Quit?
I didn't rage snap. Quit. I was... It was actually, do you know, can I just say one thing? In FIFA, on Weekend League, it's like skill-based matchmaking. So they basically calculate your wins against your losses and you get matched up with someone that's got the same ratio to you. But, little fact, if anyone does play Weekend League, if you quit, that doesn't count as a loss on your record for calculating your rating. So if you've got, like, say, 10 wins and, like, 4 losses, but you've quit out of all those games... the game will rank you against other people who are like 10 wins positive. So actually, I'd normally play all my games. However, it was a Sunday. I was rushed. I had 30 games to play. I think I was 4-1 down. It was a bad time.
So we were chatting to Chris Stark for the podcast of the day from Radio 1, and there's going to be more from Chris later on in the series. But we were chatting to him and this conversation came up about people who quit halfway through a game. And this is what he said.
If you disconnect from the game for whatever reason, like people's Wi-Fi is good enough now. That can't be an excuse. Like connection is lost is not an excuse that I think should be valid anymore. I think you shouldn't be able to play FIFA for 2 days. And I think it should be built into the Xbox that it sort of shuts itself off for, or maybe a day. Or trial this thing and like say, right, you're not allowed to play for half an hour. Do you know what I mean? And then make the punishments more severe for repeat offenders. Because what's the incentive for me to be thrashing you 5-6-0, right? Because I know you're going to get fed up. You're not going to see out the game. So if anything, when you play FIFA now, you have to try and win 2-0 and just keep it going as long as possible at that. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah,
because
yeah.
Too many people are going to turn off. But I just think the major problem with the game is people disconnecting. And obviously, we can't get this to Parliament.
If we can get if we get 100,000 signatures on an online petition, then we can put this in front of Parliament. So maybe this is what we're doing now. 100,000 people.
We could make it illegal to disconnect from the game for reasons that aren't Wi-Fi.
100%.
I'm really keen on this. So... who wants to? Shall I set up this petition? What's the best way to go about this?
Yeah, if you set up the petition and then we'll just sort of garner support. I mean, 100,000 is quite a lot of people.
Yeah, I really like this. Imagine this gets discussed in Parliament. This would be great. Someone's got to stand up and say it should be illegal to disconnect from FIFA.
Yes.
Yeah. Come on, let's do it. Yeah. It's a great idea.
Right. I would agree with that with some caveats.
Okay, what are they? What are the caveats?
I think if you're playing a game in the same room as someone, aka a mate or whatever, absolutely under no circumstances are you allowed to quit. And any loss, you have to do the required forfeit and apologise and all the rest of it between friends. When you're playing Ultimate Team, for example, sometimes your requirement is you need to like win 3 games. And sometimes you'll be 4-0 up against someone and you'll be like, oh, come on, let's just quit. Give me my win and then I can get on with grinding my objectives.
Yes.
So there is, and in Weekend League, you get Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You've got to play 30 games. It's about 20 to 30 minutes a game. So if someone quits out after 5 minutes, I'm not thinking, oh, what an idiot. I'm thinking, thank God, you've just saved me 25 minutes of this fresh hell, but all I want to do is get better packs. The one thing I will say, that this is out of order, and this does happen a lot in the FIFA community. I don't know, and I don't know, you don't play as much, but in Weekend League, which is a competitive format, if the person quits out when you're drawing, they get a loss, but you don't get a win. And what happens is, really awful people, if you're like smashing someone in the first like 10 minutes, they'll just quit out because they're like, oh, I'm going to lose to this person. Or some people will concede a penalty and then just turn their console off, which means you don't get the win because you didn't score that penalty to get the goal. So they'll quit out so you don't get the win straight away.
Right. It'll be quite a complicated law to try and fit all those little caveats in though, Ian, wouldn't it?
Imagine Boris Johnson trying to say all that out loud in one go. We'd be there all day.
Yeah, I agree with everything Ian said there, to be fair. For me personally, when I'm doing weekend league, I don't even play the full 30. I've just started just getting the 14 wins and getting off because it's like, it's so time consuming.
It's a lot, isn't it?
It's a lot. So then, and obviously sometimes you don't know, one weekend, like the first time I've done it, you know, your team might not be the best. And obviously you're doing that weekend league to get like the best players or the, you know, the chance to open some of the best players. And so, you know, if your team's not that good, you're looking up, you've got a team that you're about to face and it flashes up and there's four icons and you've got, and you're just like, oh, come on. And then you get a goal and then you're 2-0 up and then you get a dodgy corner go and you're 3-0 up in the first 30 minutes and they quit. I'm like, oh my God, what? I've achieved something today.
That's our Istanbul right there.
Honestly, mate. So when they quit, then I have no problem at all with it. But like Ian said, there's been time. Like I done it the other day. Like I wasn't paying attention. To be fair, I've just moved into my own house and I still don't know house things. So my mum come over and was like, "Show me the dishwasher and stuff." So I wasn't paying attention. And then they scored a goal. And then I was on the attack. And the same thing happened. He done a penalty. And then I was about to take a penalty. And he just shut it off. So I was just like, why have you just done that? Like, saw people like that. They should get banned.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think whether or not you're going to back our petition or not, yeah? And I can't really...
I think the simple rule should be, if you're in the same room as the person, you're not allowed to quit out the game.
Yeah.
No, I'm with it and I'm not, because it's just those weird people. Can't we just have like a detector on people, like a fingerprint, and they know if you're like...
Well, that's quite intrusive now, Chelsea. You know?
No.
You're going to be a cheater or not just by him, by something like that.
Need to get penalised, I reckon. It's modern days.
Ainel, you're back in the campaign, aren't you?
I'm back in it, bruv. I'm back in the campaign. Like, before, back in the day, people used to make the excuse that their internet's a bit dodgy and then they got disconnected and that. Nah, we're on big fiber optic broadband round here. No one's got that excuse anymore. I remember going back to the opposing football game, Pro Evo 6. Back in the day, it was the first online Pro Evo game and they had a bug in the game, right? Where if the ball went out of play and it went for a throw-in or corner kick, if the person didn't kick the ball or throw the ball back in, nothing would happen. And so there used to be a meta game of wait outs. If someone was losing, they'd wait for the ball to go out of play, then they just wouldn't throw it back in. And then you just wait out. And you'd be waiting there for a good half an hour, 45 minutes, like, I ain't quitting, I'm winning, I've won, I ain't quitting. And then they don't want to quit because they don't want to get the loot, they don't want to get you to have to win. And you're just waiting it out. And you just, you spend like 30 minutes, 40 minutes just sitting there waiting. Who's gonna quit first?
Was it Sensible Soccer had that amazing bit that if you got booked, the referee had to catch you to give you the card so you could foul a player and then just...
Oh, yes. And the ref had to follow you.
It would be like a Benny Hill-esque chase scene where the referee would just chase you around the pitch for 5 minutes. it became like a game of Dead by Daylight, just getting chased around by this guy trying to give you a yellow card.
Talking about Pro Evo there, I know... what do you think of it? Used to be the big discussion every year, wasn't it? Pro Evo or FIFA?
It was.
Recently, Pro Evo maybe not getting as much airtime as FIFA. Ian, have you dabbled with on the other side, as it were?
I'm 32 years of age, which means I'm slap bang middle in the sort of pro Evo generation. Because I've still kept up the gaming, I'm on FIFA controls, but it's a pretty standard thing when you're my age. So let's say late 20s to mid 30s, where if you play with a friend who's maybe like grown up and got a family and hasn't bought both new next gen consoles and still has his PS4 and has a Game Boy and needs to grow up probably, you always have to switch the FIFA controls to Pro Ev controls.
Square to shoot.
Yeah, square to shoot.
Yeah.
You always get someone, they get through on there and then they cross it out for a throw and they're like, you didn't change the controls.
That used to be the most annoying thing.
And the thing is, it's such a big thing. It's still a thing on FIFA. You just literally click alternate on your controls and it sets up Pro Evo controls. So. Yeah. When I started playing football games properly, it was definitely Pro Evo, and it was like, I think it wasn't until like FIFA 15, FIFA 16, it was actually, my mate showed me Ultimate Team that I got back onto that FIFA. That FIFA, yeah. FIFA ting. Is that what you say?
I think you've said it now, mate. So yes, let's go with it. Let's roll with it. Chelsea, have you ever dabbled in a bit of Pro Evo? I mean, Pro Evo was the first football game I fell in love with. Loved it. Master League.
Master
Remember
League.
That one with all the fake names? Burchett on the wing.
Castillo, was it?
Yeah, Castillo up front.
With the braids. Oh, yeah, he was my guy. And there was another one called, was it like Miranda or something?
Miranda.
Mate,
long hair.
He used to score bangers. He was on my free kicks.
Sorry, Chelsea. No, you finish.
I'm waiting for you. This is a wait out.
Oh, no. But I was just going to say, I just remember, was that the Pro Evo where, like, it was like, so just the thing about Pro Evo, it's like a computer game. It was like fun. Like, your players would get called up for, like, they had to do, like, their National Guard, like, work for the army and stuff. It was, like, so mad. I loved it.
Yeah, it was Master League was the thing for me. I use R1 instead of R2 to run. So I changed that. That button's still the same for me from Pro. Because Pro was like my first time I got into it. Yeah, like Master League. I absolutely loved that. But the team names just used to kill you, didn't it? Like,
yeah,
North London Red.
Yeah.
The Merseyside Blues. Our arch nemesis, the Merseyside Blues.
They do have
Blues.
Some licenses for some teams now. I guess it's because it's called eFootball Pro Evo.
Yeah, they do.
Now,
and obviously, FIFA now don't have Juve.
Yeah, because Pro Evo's got some teams and then FIFA's got other teams.
But, I genuinely thought Serie A had changed to the Calcio A for ages. And I was saying to like my mates down the pub, I went, did you watch the Calcio A last night? And they're like, what are you talking about? And I was like, I just basically only know FIFA. That's how, like, because they do a thing in FIFA. I don't know if you're the same, Chelsea. I don't know how many leagues you watch. Where they do a team of the week, so the best players around the world get a 1 or 2 point upgrade on their card and their impacts for a week. So I'll be like, oh, Lewandowski's having a brilliant month at Bayern. And like, how do you know that? I'm like, well, the truth is he's had a team of the week quite recently, but actually I've never watched any of them. I've never watched him play football outside international duty, really.
Well, seeing as you're both massive, you know, FIFA players and you've talked very passionately about the game on the podcast today, we're going to have to figure out which one of you two is the better player. So we're going to try and set that up. So if you guys are up for it, at some point, we're going to have to get you to play each other and me and Einel can commentate and we'll have to figure out which one of you is the better FIFA player. Sound like a plan?
Sounds like a plan.
I might have to quit after at 4-1. I've got a fear.
Hey, if that petition comes in, mate, you'd be breaking the law if you do that.
No, he's going to be doing a couple wait outs. I know.
But Chelsea, look, we've loved having you in the pod. We know you've got to run off because you're super busy. So thank you very much for joining us. I'm lucky that I'm actually really pleased I don't have to play you because I was getting in, I played loads of FIFA 21 this week to try and, you know, get ready for the podcast and things. And I haven't played loads recently. And the first game I played on my Ultimate Team was, I'm going to get back into Ultimate Team because, you know, I'm talking to Chelsea and Ian and they know their stuff. I'm going to get back into it. It's going to be fine. And I got absolutely battered 10-1 by a 12-year-old. So I'm actually pleased that I'm not playing you, Chelsea, because I think it would be embarrassing.
We've got to have a game. I'm holding you to it. Come on. I've done the podcast.
You can train me. You can coach me. Can you coach me?
All right, let's do that. We'll make it
Excellent.
Happen, okay?
Okay, great. So you're going to play Ian and then you're going to coach me. Sounds like a plan. Just before you go, we do this thing where we've got to try and guess the overall score that the critics have given FIFA out of 100. What do you think out of 100 the critics have said for this one?
Probably, I don't know, probably low. Like, proper gamers don't really like FIFA, do they? Proper. I don't know. What was the last one? Can you tell me that info? Because it's got to be better than the last one.
That's a good question. I don't know the last one. I only know this one.
All right, I'm going to go for, like, what is it, a percentage? So like,
it's a percentage, out of 100.
85.
85's high. Einel, what are you saying?
I want to say 70.
70. What do you think, Ian? Where's this one ranking?
Well, I think FIFA's still undeniably the best football game on the market, but it's, I think with the next gen and stuff, it's not a huge upgrade on the old game, but it is an upgrade, so I'm going to go with 80.
The actual one is 72 on the PS4 and 77 on the Xbox One. So they like bits of it, but like Ian said, not enough of a change for lots of people compared to 2020. But listen, Chelsea, thank you for coming on. It's been lovely to have you.
Bye, guys. See you in a bit.
Take care, mate. Cheers. Bye-bye.
See you later, Chels.
Bye.
No, I'm not bothered with the the Switch version, we haven't talked about that at all, because basically it's the same game as 2018, but they're still charging you full whack for it. One of the websites I was doing looked up for their review of the 2021 Switch version was basically, see our review last year, because it's exactly the same game, just with different...
Copy and pasted it.
Yeah,
like so they just like literally they've rebranded it, you fool.
Yeah. I think they've called it Legendary Edition as well, just to give it a little bit of, you know, je ne sais quoi.
Legacy Edition, has it?
Legacy, that's it.
Yeah,
that's
Legacy it, Edition. But they've done that for the last couple years. So the Switch has had two or three FIFA games now, but they've all been the same version, but just updated rosters. That's it. Yeah. Literally just the roster. That's it.
Crazy.
The gameplay is exactly the same.
Well, let us know what you think of the new FIFA. Do you rate it? Are you enjoying this one, or are you not convinced? Let us know. Hashtag press X to continue. Get in touch with us. Thanks to everybody who's been getting in touch so far. It's been brilliant to hear from you. We also ended up chatting about, because people have been messaging us in, Ian, talking about their favourite sports games of all time. So Els the Witch, who's been on with us before, said Tiger Woods golf or Tony Hawk skateboarding as the greatest sports game of all time.
Tony Hawk is up there, man. I was playing the remastered one recently. It's really great.
Yeah, Tony Hawk's a good shout, I suppose. And we had this one from James on Twitter saying track and field. Remember track and field? We used to get a pen out and cheat.
Your thumb would be wrecked after that game.
Oh. So thanks for that idea, James. Jasper said Wii Sports.
Oh,
David, I mean, with a name like David, there's only one choice coming from him, isn't it? And that was Rugby 08, which is... good shout. Adam said SSS Tricky. And we talked about PES earlier. Danny suggested PES 6.
So, oh, no, that's the one I was talking about. The waitouts. Nah. PES 5.
Yeah. For me, it's Madden. All the Madden games.
Jonah Lumo Rugby was really fun. Do you remember that game?
Yes, that was a heck of a game. That was when was that? Like mid-90s as well, wasn't it? Yeah, cracker.
Or Brian Lara Cricket. And actually, no, do you know what? Genuinely, my favourite sports game of all time, but like, you couldn't have it in your house. It was the arcade Colin McRae Rally, where you got to sit in the big car at your local bowling alley. That was so sick.
Yeah, imagine. People get, my mate in the beginning of lockdown is like, right, lockdown sod it. And he bought one of the chairs so he could do play the F1 game at home.
Oh, is it?
In a chair. He only lives in a one bed flat. It took up half the space.
Amazing. That's a true gamer.
Now, Ian, you've been getting into your streaming recently. What is it about it that you get such a buzz out of?
I've been streaming for like two and a half years. I've sort of on and off when I could find the time, and then I've obviously taken it on more seriously since this year with like not having gigs and stuff. I love computer games. I love the community. With Twitch, in particular, which is what I go on, a lot of people see it as like computer games, but I see it more as like long form social media. So like, I think with social media at the minute, everything's so instant and filtered and whatnot. And it's like a little snapshot of someone's life that's made to be so much better than what the reality might actually be. Twitch is like, you get one creator's like life for like 2 to 3 hours.
Yeah.
And you can really get a sense of what they're about, and you can have some actual proper conversations with that person, and you create this lovely little community. And the thing about the game is it means you get people that are all into like the same sort of thing. Obviously, I use FIFA, but it obviously massively helps if you're into FIFA, because that's what's visually happening. But there's a lot of conversations that we have, and we talk about loads of different stuff, like what you're having for your dinner, all the way through to like mental health things. And I just love, basically, I love computer games and I love performing. That is what Twitch is. I get to play FIFA and I get to perform to an audience. So it's sort of the dream for me. And through it, I've met some really lovely people. And it's also a weirdly sort of warm and friendly part of the internet. Obviously, it's still the internet, don't get me wrong. But I think the mentality there is different as well. Like, you've got moderators on your channel, or if people say something that's like inappropriate or whatever, you can just block them. Block and move on is a Lemmy coined a phrase, BAMO. Block and move on, which is a new thing that you should be doing when you're on Twitter or Instagram or whatever. Just BAMO, block and move on. So I just like it. Whereas like the mentality's maybe not there in other forms of social media. So I just really love it. I've got a load of like-minded people that watch me play a game that I love, and they tend to love it as well. And we just have a little blether. So there's no downside really. And I can sort of, all that time that I would have spent playing computer games, I've sort of turned into like a job, a productive thing. And I've worked on my camera setup and my mic and to make it all work. I enjoy the like technical side of things. I wouldn't have been able to set up a Zoom call sort of January, and now I've sort of like, I know how to do all these different things. I've got a little mixer, I can do fun things to my voice.
I can do a little microphone.
We can do Love Island tonight on Press X to Continue. I, Nell and Stefan get bored by Ian and his sound mixer. So I've just sort of got really into it, basically, is what I'm trying to say.
You're really into it, man. I love it.
You can relate, Dina, because you do the same thing.
I echo everything that, pretty much everything that Ian said. It's I think the preconception of like platforms like Twitch, people assume it's just like watching teenage boys playing games in their bedrooms, and it's not. It's all about community building and like-minded people, and the game is almost like the icebreaker to kind of bring people there. But then what happens after that? Anything can kind of go, and discussions can go in any direction at all, like from political things to cultural things that's happening at the moment. And then it can just flip at a dime to something that just happened in the game. And then you're back again to the conversation you were having. And oftentimes, like, your community can have various different conversations with each other in the chat, not even with you. And it's like, and you're like, I want to get involved. It's like, bring me in. And so it's nice. It's a nice way of kind of connecting, and especially in during these times of the pandemic of 2020 and everything that's happened this year, it's a nice place for people to come, like-minded people, to kind of, you know, just talk to each other. And I think that's like a really important thing that a lot of us are missing from traditional forms of social media, where it's quite short. Like Ian said, it's like Twitter, it's only a couple of characters, and then you don't get the gist of what they're saying, you don't get the tone of how they're saying it. Whereas on a platform where you're live streaming, you can see how they feel about a certain subject, and you can empathize with them, and you can kind of relate, and you can have really nice discussions and then get back to the game.
Is it that year of no live performance then, Ian, that's really made you sort of zone in and work on those, you know, get your sound mixer up and really get into it? Is it sort of filled that void for you by the sounds of it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've always absolutely loved it. It was just a simple case of having the time. I think the one thing I still need to get right, which I know is absolutely fantastic at, is like a schedule, and I need to make it more of a thing. I still feel like I need to nail that down. Sunday mornings are the only time that I sort of like categorically I do Twitch. That's what I do. I watch a lot of Twitch because obviously at night, instead of watching like YouTube or scrolling through Instagram, I can watch someone that I really enjoy, like Inel, or, you know, like Scottish comedian Limmy does a lot of streaming that I really like. There's a Dead by Daylight streamer called Granny that I like really love watching.
Yeah, Granny's wicked.
So good. Granny's basically this character, and the voice, I think, is really strongly based on Mrs. Doubtfire. And it's just this person dragged up as a granny talking like Mrs. Doubtfire, who is absolutely fantastic at like top level at the game Dead by Daylight. And it just means I wouldn't even play Dead by Daylight, but I love just sitting watching people play. Like, I'm Last of Us. I don't know if you know this, I know. I ended up not even playing it that much because I just watched Inel.
How's that?
It saved me a lot of stress, if I'm being honest, because I've never seen
game.
Inel, as you can tell from this podcast, Inel's a very positive person, but there was a few times in that game that his head went, and it was lovely to see.
So do you think Inel people come for the game or for the performer or a bit of both?
It's a case of some people come for the game, or they want to see high-level gameplay of that particular game. So, like, if it's like a Fortnite, they want to see the best Fortnite players. But whereas some people, they come for the personality, whereas the person is not necessarily great at the video game, but they provide good patter, good banter, that the games aren't necessarily the most important part. And what's been interesting to watch in platforms like Twitch over the last few years is how it's almost starting to distance itself from the game and be more about the personalities behind the games and behind the streams and the broadcast.
Yeah.
Like Ian was saying, it's all about all of these streamers have to learn how to be their own self-producer. They have to produce their own content from the visuals to the audio to the promo of letting people know when they're going live to clips, to video highlights, to uploading and downloading. Like, they have to do all of that as a one-person team. And so, as a result of that, because they got so many skills, they're utilizing those skills in the stream, and it's becoming less about the game and more about that person.
You're both comics, so obviously you love performing. Performing's what gets you up and out of bed, Ian. Does that mean, mm-hmm. you know, Twitch is for that people like you,
dog.
Do you think?
That and my dog. Because yeah. he would poo on the carpet if I didn't get out of bed.
And the 30 games of weekend league you've got to play.
It used to be 40 and you only had Saturday and Sunday. Imagine that. It was madness. Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
No, I was just, you know, do you need to be someone like you who's used to performing and you know, you and I, Neil, both, that you do stand-up gigs and do you have to be like that, do you think, to enjoy being a streamer?
I don't think so at all. I think I know a few people that have got anxiety issues and things like that, and Twitch is a really good way for them to, like, communicate with other people because they might find it difficult in, like, a public setting. And also people that are going through that stuff, other people that also suffer from those sort of... mental health issues can go and talk to that streamer about that and how they cope and how they don't cope. And obviously, I would like make it very clear that if you're having any mental health issues yourself, these people, not all of them are trained medical professionals, and it's more their opinion and how their experiences help them. And if you need to speak to professionals, you should definitely do that. But sometimes it's nice just to speak to someone with the same, you know, common interest. And yeah, for me personally, I'm a FIFA guy, so like if I play FIFA, I will have double the viewers than if I don't play FIFA. But then the people that still hang around are still the people that hang around, and we have a lovely time. If I'm being really honest, I sort of set it up thinking it wouldn't really be a thing, more just as a justification to like friends, family, work colleagues and stuff, that it was work, and I thought I'll just pretend that it's going sort of all right, and then I can play FIFA for 4 hours and tell everyone it's work. And then sort of, and it was that for a bit, it was still doing all right, and then lockdown happened and I was like, oh wow, this is actually like a legit way to like spend my time, in terms of like I really feel like I've made a community, I really feel like I'm sort of like I can make enough money to like justify the time and the effort and the equipment and stuff that I've put into it. And but ultimately I just really enjoy it, and especially this year I genuinely don't know what I would have done without it. The outlet of performing, the sense of community, the even just like, and I don't mean it to sound as grim as it does, but just like sometimes, especially in lockdown, days were long, man. So if you could play computer games for 3 hours, that's a big chunky change where you're engaged and talking to other human beings, and you know, it was just nice. So yeah, I owe it a lot. Really, and I'm really grateful for it, and I really enjoy it. And if you want to subscribe, it's $4.99 a month.
Don't forget to use Amazon Prime.
Yeah. Obviously, this is a podcast, so people can't see, but I'm super jealous of both your setups. Like I say this to Aynel every week, he's got the sick chair, you got your microphones, you've got your sound mixers. Seeing you guys do it, I think loads of people will be interested in wanting to try and do the same. So it's...
Thank you for the kind words about my sound mixer.
Have you ever done something stupid on your stream and like your partner walked in and like, what the heck are you doing? What is going on in there?
I mean, she thinks that every day I do it anyway. So what a mad thing to do. I'm going to go just play computer games and talk to people for 4 hours. What are you... Go outside. Go for a run. What is wrong with you?
You haven't convinced her then?
No, she's absolutely fantastic about it. And she noticed the minute I started streaming sort of semi-regularly during lockdown, I stopped doing stand-up at her in the kitchen at dinner time. So I think she was like, this is good. Yeah. This is the release you needed. Don't get me wrong. She wish I was into like gardening or handiwork or meditative yoga or something. But unfortunately, it's FIFA 21, the David Beckham edition, unfortunately for her.
Now, Ian, I've got to say, it's been wicked to have you on the Zoom with us and seeing you in the flesh, because one of the guys who's on the podcast with us a lot, Gav, me and Gav were having a few pints in the bar once. We were there all afternoon, and this family were next to us. They were leaving, and they sort of sheepishly come to us at the end and said, oh, excuse me, my daughter's a huge fan. And so Gav starts wetting himself, right? He's laughing. Oh, she listens to Radio 1, does she? No, she's a huge fan. Would you please sign an autograph for her? And I was like, she definitely thinks I'm Ian Sterling, doesn't she? I said, yes, you're the man of Love Island. I was like, no, we've both got funny accents and we look sort of similar.
But we do have a very similar vibe, I must admit. I am, obviously as I'm running late, I cannot find my glasses and I've not shaved this morning. But other than that, we are a spit for one another.
One last thing before we leave, we're going to stick a game into our Hall of Game. Obviously it's going to be FIFA today because that's what we've been talking about. Mm-hmm. But if we had to pick one FIFA that's the best out of all of them, which year would it be?
Oh, that is such a good question. The World Cup 98 one was so sick.
That was such a very good sick game. Yes.
World Cup 98 was so good.
It was a separate
good.
Game as well, wasn't it?
Yeah,
I remember that one. That was a good one.
I think it might have to be World Cup 98. In terms of like modern day FIFA, I think 16 is my favourite. Maybe 17. But yeah, let's go proper OG. I'm pretty up on my games, but FIFA's what I'm really up on. So let's go proper hipster and say, yeah, World Cup 98, France 98.
That was a good one. That's a good
Works for me. And of course, Scotland were in it, so that's always good as well.
And we'll be in the next one, thank you very much.
Champions! Let us know if we picked the best FIFA to get into our Hall of Game. Hashtag PressX to continue. Find us there.
Well, thanks for sticking with us till the end, gang. Really appreciate it. And we are going to see you next Tuesday for the next episode of PressX to continue. Bye-bye.